Well, this is Amran's Podcast Live. It's episode 238, and this is coming to you, this is being recorded live on pride48.com. I'm just making sure that the archive is actually going.
Have you written this down? Like, no. Because it sounds like you're winging it.
I am. I always wing it. I never have a script, as people will no doubt know.
No, but that's not true. Your earlier shows, you had a script.
No, I had talking points. There were only a couple that were actually fully scripted. And actually, I think they probably sound less scripted than the ones that were. But anyway, I should say, before we go any further, joining us tonight is Daniel Brewer, who has been missing in action. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, and I'd like to point out I'm not the one breathing in my microphone. Hi.
No. And also joining us is Brother Sinatus. Hello.
Hello.
And also joining me live in the studio is Bella the Cat, who's no longer purring, and my honey Nigel.
Hello.
And that's okay, well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
If anybody wants to join in, you can let me know on Skype, and I will add you to the convo.
I think VD said that he wanted to be in.
Yes, and I thought that, oh, he's actually in the Skypes. I will just see if he...
Who was there?
Veritable Virgo.
Oh, okay. Let's see VD. I'm thinking, who the hell is there?
Yeah.
Right.
I remember that Veritable, so...
Does anybody other than me remember the TV PSA for VD?
Heck if I know.
It was like a song. It was like, VD is for everybody.
What, were they giving it away or something?
Let's see if I can find it. Anyway, never mind. Go ahead. Move along. Move the show forward.
Yes, exactly. So, Daniel, where have you been lately?
I have been right here.
Oh, okay.
Where have you been?
Your public has been missing you.
Oh, I don't have a public. Here it is, I think. We'll see. Now, somebody thought that was a good idea to make an entire song about how VD is for everybody.
Well, I would think that they would probably be mistaken about that, actually, but...
So we're going to talk about venereal diseases today, are we?
Well, right. We could.
Yeah, that is, I thought that was the topic. That's why.
Yeah,
I
we're going to share venereal diseases.
Well, like, joining us now is Veritable Virgo. Welcome.
Hello, folks. To answer your question as to where I've been suffering from a venereal disease.
Does that explain the smell at Vera's house?
I would like to say that the smell at Vera's house predated my arrival. I was not responsible for the smell at Vera's house. In fact, I can report that walking up the drive to Vera's house, you can smell garlic at 10 paces out because she was cooking with a lot of garlic, which I love garlic, don't get me wrong.
Keeps the vampires away.
Yeah, I had a hard time going in there because I am a vampire.
Well, you do stay up all night long and sleep during the day.
Exactly.
Right. And I named a cat Bella.
We did not name our cat Bella. It was named for us by our little nieces.
No, I've been very, very involved in a project. I don't know. It's been hinted about here and there. I'm working on software with Gooch and Lurie Dean for some stuff, and I have been incredibly busy with that, as well as just, I don't know, just overkill of things. So I just haven't really had a chance to be around.
Well, we're glad to have you here today.
Then let's listen, shall we? And the only reason that I can do Wes's show is because we record it like 1 a.m. Yeah. in the morning. So,
well, it actually is convenient with the two of you being on opposite coasts because you've got all those hours. Since you stay up till the middle of the night, you can wait until Wes is ready in the evening. It must be really
right.
convenient.
It's also is very convenient because I can. He has about 3 hours to get my jokes, so he has time to research them and stuff.
Yeah.
That's how it works, right?
Well, it's for most people anyway.
Yeah, right.
You're right.
So, hi, Arthur.
Hi, Daniel. So, Daniel, why should people stop thinking in bumper stickers?
Oh, really? You're just going to do that? You're just going to dive right into the topic
here? I didn't know if that was a real topic or not.
Or Veritable Virgo only gets like, oh, by the way, Veritable Virgo's here. Yeah, hey.
Well, you were in mid-sentence. You know how hard it is to interrupt you.
It is. Hi, Veritable Virgo.
Hello, Daniel. How are you? I'm good.
Good. All right, well, we've taken care of that.
back to Daniel.
No, I when I suggested that you talk about how people should stop thinking in bumper stickers, I don't know if you're aware of this or not because, you know, you live in another country.
We do.
Yeah. But we have this little thing coming up here in another couple of weeks called an election. I don't know if you've heard about that. It might have made the news.
Oh, I think it made the entertainment news.
Right. And it just, I'm just starting to really get annoyed at my fellow human being.
When aren't you annoyed with the
fellow
human
being? I was going to say this is different how.
That is not true. I'm not normally annoyed with all human beings. Just near political races. Because this is what happens. People say, oh, it's too complicated. I don't. You know what? They lie on both sides, and I'm just so tired. I just don't pay attention to it because it's just too, you know, it's just too hard to follow. It's just too annoying. And yet, these same people, if you press them, there is probably some area of their life where they are able to, in enormous detail, tell you something.
Hmm.
Be that sports, or be that fashion, or be that. What's another one? Black and white musicals of the 50s or whatever. They clearly, demonstrably have the capacity to understand these things and to follow these things. What they lack is the desire to do so.
Right.
And so I was talking to my husband because he made that comment. You know, oh my God, I'm just so sick of it. And I don't care. I'm just done with it. And I'm like, no, you know, this is something that affects your life. Politics is something that absolutely affects your life. So if your knee stopped working one day, you get out of bed and your knee is not working, what are you just going to say, oh, you know what, it's too complicated, I'm just going to ignore it and it's going to go away? It's like, no, you're going to go try to find out what the hell's going on with your knee, right? You're going to go on and try to, you know, do maybe some reading, go talk to a doctor, get some opinions on it, you know, from people that you trust, and take some action to fix that problem. Well, why can't people realize that that's what politics is, right? I mean, if you're pissed off at the system right now, and if you're unhappy with the way things are going, then get off your ass. Get off your ass and inform yourself on what's going on. Get involved in it and take some action instead of just sitting around and bitching about it. And we have become so bumper stickerized, I'm coining a phrase, here in this country lately, that if we speak in more words than will fit on a bumper sticker, then we just glaze over and give up. And that is what's really annoying me, is that people are unwilling to go past bumper sticker mentality.
Well, I wonder how much of that is because of that, or just because of the screaming at the ends of the spectrum and people just start tuning out after a while.
There is a good amount of that, but then let's take something that the right wingers are not necessarily screaming about. Let's just take it just from within our own community. I have read countless tweets today, countless comments on message boards today about the Justice Department pursuing "Don't Ask, Don't Tell."
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know, a judge basically overturned it and said, no, the military has to stop doing this. And the Justice Department appealed that and asked for them to stay that. That original judge said no, so they went to an appeals court above her and got an injunction so that so that while it's being appealed, the military can go back to doing whatever it was doing before.
Mm.
Now, the overwhelming majority of the tweets and comments that I've read today, I would go so far as to say almost every single one of them that I read today said something along the lines of, the Obama administration has really pissed me off and blah, 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 blah. Even the headlines would say, Obama administration is appealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you know, while purporting to be against it. And that is such an oversimplification of what is going on. And I have to wonder, do people even know how our government works? It's like, Do we not remember not more than 6 years ago when Alberto Gonzalez was the head of the Justice Department and we started firing states' attorney generals and replacing them with political appointees and the uproar over how we were politicizing what should be a neutral and non-political entity? And we have the gall to sit around now and to complain about the fact that the Justice Department is not being political? That they are actually doing the nonpartisan, non-political job that they are supposed to do, which is to support, you know, to enforce the laws that Congress made. I mean, well, this is not the Obama administration. The Obama administration is a political entity. The Justice Department is a non-political entity that, true, the Attorney General is appointed by the government at the beginning, but the Attorney General does not serve at the behest and pleasure of the president. He also reports to the Congress. It is a dual role. It is not an exclusive executive office, you know, executive branch department. So to say, well, hold on, wait, just but to say the Obama administration is doing this is just a flat outright, you know, distortion of what's going on. Now you may talk.
Thanks very much. Who would like to go first?
Well, I was just going to say for the benefit to on behalf of the I'll just be devil's advocate. The ex-Solicitor General under the Bush administration, Ted Olson, pointed out that the administration doesn't necessarily have to appeal every single ruling that goes against it, particularly if they think the court is right. And that's
that is absolutely true. And if you read his opinion, what he is saying is that Eric Holder doesn't have to do that.
Yeah
but
he's not saying Go ahead, Nigel.
Go ahead. Okay. It's too fucking complicated. That's what the problem is.
Right, exactly.
It's
right.
Too complicated. The whole system is too complicated. And it's designed to be that way. I mean, there's no other political system in the world quite as complicated.
Well, that's probably true.
I would, you know, I mean, maybe. I don't really think it's that complicated.
It is very complicated compared to other parts of the world.
What's complicated is when people try to oversimplify it. When people basically skip their second grade civics class and suddenly assume that the president of the United States is somehow a monarch.
Fact that you have to have civics classes.
Yeah, that would be good in most countries.
Well, let's take the UK, for example. So to most Americans, right, it's a monarchy. So if the Queen says do something, then we assume that it has to be done, right?
No, it can't be done.
Oh, wait, so it's not the Queen. So the Queen is not the monarch. So then what is it? Oh, it's a parliament. It's a group of people.
Parliament has sovereignty.
That's right.
So the person that's the most powerful in the UK is the Minister of Parliament. Whatever he says goes, right?
The Prime Minister.
Okay, so the Prime Minister, whatever he says goes, right?
As long as he's got the backing of Parliament, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so there's some other catch there that he has to... Oh, wait, now that's confusing. See, it's just too confusing. Let's just switch everything to dictatorships, and then we won't be confused.
Well, that's what they're trying over there.
I'm just saying. What happened here, and where most people... And it's really not that complicated. Congress passed a law. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a law passed by Congress. So it was not an executive order. It was not something that can just be removed with the stroke of a pen. It was a law, much in the sense that any other federal law that is passed by Congress, a president can't just go out and say, hey, you know what? I say that the voting age is now 16. I'm going to sign an executive order to make it so. Well, you can't do that because the voting age was a law passed by Congress. The only person that can get rid of that law is either Congress or a court can find it to be unconstitutional and overturn it. Those are your
well, actually, they
two
couldn't
options.
Now because it's now a constitutional amendment. So you'd have to amend the Constitution in order to take away the vote of 18-year-olds.
Voting age is probably a bad example. I don't know. Some other federal law.
But originally, the voting age was a law.
True.
Okay. There you go.
Because I've started voting underneath the law and not the constitutional amendment.
Yeah, so different states used to have different voting ages. Yeah.
Okay. So, but the point is that our only two options to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell are to have Congress do it or to have the courts rule it as being unconstitutional.
Right.
But at the same time, the Justice Department, acting on behalf of Congress, the people who wrote the laws, it is their job. They are duty bound to defend these things.
I still go back to the fact that it's too complicated. And average people shut down. It's too fucking complicated. Look, in New Zealand, if you want to change a law, you put a bill before Parliament, it's read three times, they vote on it, it becomes law. That's it.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think the American public or anyone else lacks the capability of understanding that they just lack the will. Because if you push them, they could tell you the starting lineup for their favorite sporting team for the past decade. Oh, back in 72 when such and such was the quarterback, yada, yada, yada. And they would know that. The team rosters for years. They're not incapable of knowing arcane information or following it.
It's complicated. It's very complicated.
Well, it's not as complicated, I don't think, for people born in America because we grew up with it. So we're used to these three branches. Most states have similar systems. Well, they all do. But it's just that Nebraska has a unicameral legislature.
Except for Alaska. We don't.
Yeah, Alaska is a whole other country.
So let's see. Now, Mr. Stone is saying that what people get fed up with is the political game politicians play. They do it for their career, not for the good of the people. Absolutely, you are correct. And if you're fed up, my point was, is if you're fed up about it, your best course of action is to learn about it and to change it, to get involved and change it. It doesn't matter how much money corporations throw into our elections or how much they try to take them over. At the end of the day, at least for now, American citizens are the only ones allowed to vote.
Yeah.
So your best weapon is to vote informed, to go in and make an informed vote.
Well, let me take that one step further. Because of all of this stuff, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and DOMA, and these various other things, Proposition 8, there has been a streak within the GLBT communities about how the Democrats are evil and we should just ignore them now, never give them another cent, we shouldn't vote for them because they haven't done anything for us. And, of course, my argument has always been, well, then you're going to get the other side winning because there are only two options that are going to win. But what if, instead of complaining and being angry all the time, GLBT people organized and started electing candidates to Congress and to state legislatures and things like that? What if they did the hard work rather than just complain about it?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I will go out on a limb, out on the unpopular limb, of which I am all too familiar with. Today, Dan Choi came out with a statement. That he would not vote for Obama again. He was so upset about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell thing that's going on that he's not going to vote for Obama again, and he's taking his toys and he's going home.
Yeah.
He's so pissed off and frustrated.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. A, Obama's not running in 2010. I don't know if he knows that or not. So he doesn't really get to vote or not vote for Obama in this election. But B, you know what, Dan Choi? I respect the fact that you serve the country. I respect the fact that you know that you have been a vocal advocate for repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You have a lot of name recognition. You have a lot of publicity surrounding you. If you really, really want to help, run for office.
That's a good point.
It's really that simple. You don't have to run for senator. You don't have to run for president. Run for congressman. Run for your state senate. Run for a political office. Get your ass in there and help us fix things. Because standing around here and going, I'm pissed off, I'm not going to play anymore, doesn't help us at all. It really doesn't. It is a two-party system, and one of those two parties is in bed with corporations whose job it is to manipulate people into doing what they want, right? There is a reason why people will pay $3 more for Benadryl than Waldrill, even though they have the exact same ingredients in them. It's because the corporation that makes Benadryl is really, really good at manipulating us into believing that that is a superior product, regardless of the fact that we can turn around and see with our own eyes that it is exact same product as a generic equivalent. That is what corporations do. They manipulate us. They make us believe that product X is better than product Y, or that by buying product Z, we're going to get a good feeling about these things. These are who we're dealing with. These are the people who are experts at manipulating us.
Yeah.
And if we want to get our country back, then we have to get involved. And especially someone like Dan Choi, who is so vocal and so out there and so public, what's your excuse? Run for office. Get out there. Run for office.
Well, personally, I would tend to agree, but I'd like to ask the others what they think. Let's start with the Veritable Virgo.
Somebody talking to me? I waited so long for that. No.
Good on you.
Let's see what I think about the about Dan Troy or about the whole topic in
well, it could be the whole topic, but Dan Troy specifically, whatever most moves you.
Yeah.
Can I go first?
Go right ahead.
On PBS this morning, they had a Republican commercial directed towards the Hispanics in Nevada. They were basically telling them not to vote. And yep. I'm basically, if you're not going to vote, you are falling into the Republican. You're supporting the Republicans.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a ad targeted at Latinos, which Univision, to their credit, decided not to run. But yeah, it was targeted to Latinos. It was paid for by the RNC. So this was not one of those third party money things. This was actually paid for by the Republican National Committee to basically tell Latinos, hey, if you're pissed off about immigration reform and you don't think the Democrats have done enough, then don't vote. Show them that you're pissed by not voting.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder the reason they didn't do one for the gays is because the gays have already decided not to vote.
Well, yeah.
I'm not certain about that. I mean, we've already got two of us in the chat room that have voted already.
Yeah, and I have my ballot sitting here and I just have to mail it back.
I don't like to early vote. I don't know. There's something still. I still enjoy going down to the polling place and standing in line and whatnot. So I've only ever early voted like once when I was traveling. So, but rest assured, I will be voting on November 2nd.
Yeah, I would never not vote no matter what. But that's just me. But let's go back to Veritable Virgo because we sort of skipped over him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say anything.
No, I mean I think when we talk about, you know, the government being confusing and such, I think at times that's true. And I also think that at plenty of other times, if people applied themselves, they would be able to understand the topics that are being discussed. And maybe if more people got involved, it could potentially change how things are spun, and thereby creating all of that confusion, particularly around when people go to vote on some of the ballot questions. I remember a few weeks ago looking at the ballot questions that came out here in our state, and my mother was looking at them, and one of them had to be was about the sales tax. There's been almost every time an election has come about, the question is on the ballot to reduce our state sales tax or our personal income tax. At a time where any such success in that arena would be devastating to state revenues and therefore the programs that are funded by the state. And I find that a lot of people don't fully understand the question, don't look at how it's phrased, they don't understand what a yes vote will mean versus what a no vote means because they probably never read the information that's sent out. But it's also often phrased in a way that is almost geared to create confusion. So I think definitely people, what Daniel was saying is that, you know, I mean, I think that people just don't pay enough attention to it. You know, I think you mentioned something about the was it the lineup for football or something, and people could say, you know, back a number of years. And I find that I can do that too with the things that I'm really, really excited about, and the things that I don't care about, well, I simply don't care about them, and I don't pay them much mind. And I think the world of politics is something that a lion's share of people say, ugh, I don't bother with that.
Yeah, well, that's
no,
true.
No, absolutely, and that was my point, is that it's not a lack of capability to understand. It's not a lack of capability to do that. It's just a lack of desire. It's a lack of interest. And it's fed by you know, negative ads and people intentionally muddying the waters. Mm-hmm. Because it's in their interest to have you not pay attention. If I am ExxonMobil, it's in my best interest for you not to care what's going on, because right. I've got millions of dollars worth of lobbyists sitting up on the Hill that are talking to congressmen and senators trying to get my legislation passed. And the one thing, the only thing that can really, you know, screw that up is if you start paying attention and get rid of the guy that I've paid off. And so it is in their best interest to make it something. I mean, I've said this for years at the risk of repeating myself, but I will. you know, when you look at the fact that in this country there are five companies that own 90% of the media, what passes for political discourse in America nowadays is to have a 3-minute segment on a television show where you take somebody from one extreme of a position and pit them up against somebody from the other extreme of a position and have them shout at each other for 3 minutes and never come to any kind of conclusion. And that is what passes for political discourse here, because that turns people off from politics. And that is the goal. The goal is to turn people off from politics. If you look at the Republican Party's Southern strategy, most of us know it as, okay, well, that's their racist strategy where they were just going to cater to the, to the white bigots in the South to get them to come on board. But that's a simplification of what the Southern strategy was. The Southern strategy was, not only are we going to cater to these bigots to get them on board, but we're going to do everything that we can possibly do to limit the number of black people that do vote.
Yeah, voter suppression is the other side of that.
Right, voter suppression, mm-hmm. which they're still doing today. I mean, they're still doing... The Republican Party was, charged with doing that, weren't they? They had a restraining order or some kind of federal order against them from passing out literature several years ago for that voter suppression thing. But, I mean, as you can see now, by running ads telling Latinos not to go and vote, the things they got in trouble with were the more blatant, you know, sending uniformed police officers to polling places in largely poverty-ridden areas and, like, letting it be known that, well, if you have any kind of unpaid parking ticket or unpaid taxes or whatever, they're there to arrest you if you go to vote. You know, if you haven't made your child support payment, those police are there to arrest you if you show up at the voting place. And these are the kind of things that are passed around. I mean, these are the things that are told, right? One of the favorite little dirty tricks that has come up within the last decade is the petitions, right? I'm going to go out to the park and I'm going to carry around a petition that says, this is my petition to make bunnies the official animal of Disneyland or whatever. Some completely stupid petition that most people would have no problem signing, you know, against animal cruelty. Here's my petition for against animal cruelty, and I have you sign up this petition for it. And it's, oh, well, in order for this to count, you know, because this is a petition, to, you know, ballot initiative thing, you've got to fill out this voter registration. And when you fill out the voter registration, if you didn't check off on the Republican registering as Republican, then I'm going to do that for you.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm basically going to throw away that ballot initiative, because really the only reason that I went out there was to get all of these voter registrations, to get people registered as Republicans, or to get people who were already registered as Democrats to switch their party affiliation to Republican, which on the surface you think, well, why does that matter? Right. Because it's not like you're controlling their vote. You're just controlling their registration. But when people send out literature, when the Democrats send out literature, they go off of the rolls of people who are registered as Democrat. When they call around on election day and to the elderly to see who needs a ride to go to the polls, they're going off the Democratic registered voting list. So by taking people away from that list and knowing who they are, now as a Republican Party, I can send them out different mailers than the ones that I send out to other people, right? I'm going to send them out mailers that doesn't really say anything about me being the Republican Party. I'm just going to talk about how great this candidate is. That happens to be my candidate. It's just dirty tricks.
Well, there was a guy in California who did that, but wasn't he indicted on voter fraud charges?
There have been a few that have been caught, but it's still going on to this day.
Yeah.
Anecdotally, there are people to this day that...
Well, the guy in California was on the payroll of the Republican Party. He wasn't just, you know, some independent group. But one of the things I'm wondering, you know, I was listening to you talking about, and the others as well, talking about how Americans aren't stupid. They could understand. But there's a variety of reasons, what I'm hearing, why people are being turned off to the whole political process. The media is part of it. The negative ads are another. And yet in other countries, like New Zealand, for instance, we have dramatically higher voter turnout, some 2, 3, 4 times, depending on which election you're talking about, in our general elections. In our case, would it improve America's lot if they had a multi-party proportional representation like New Zealand has, for instance? Would that make people participate?
Absolutely. But the problem with it is we don't. And we to get there is next to impossible. I mean, it would require a constitutional amendment. I mean, we set up a two-party system.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you go back and read the Federalist Paper, I believe it was Madison who everything that he was worried about by setting up a two-party system, you know, is proven to be true. You know, ironically, Madison went on to be the founder of the Democratic Republicans, but one of our first parties. But that's neither here nor there. But the point is yeah, I mean, that two-party system is not the greatest, but that's what we have. We can't change that now without a lot of work, right? The best that we could do, the thing that we could change that takes less work, would be to move to change the way that we vote, to change to a first pass. What was it? It's first pass voting.
First past the post.
Yeah, first past the post voting. So that instead of you going in and voting for two choices for a senator, you could go in and say, well, you know what, I'm going to vote for Bob Smith, the Green candidate, but my second choice would be Steve, the Democrat. And then what happens is that if none of the candidates exceed 50% of the vote, then it switches people to their second choices. So you drop out the lowest one. So that way you could actually.
That's not first past the post. It's preferential. STV.
Well, it could be either, depending on how it's structured. But don't you all call that instant runoff voting in the U.S.?
Yeah, instant runoff. That's the word I was looking for. Runoff voting. Because that makes third parties viable. Because then you're not throwing away your vote. I mean, how many times did you hear that in the 2000 election? Well, if you vote for Ralph Nader, then you're throwing your vote away.
Yeah.
You know, you're just taking a vote away from the Democrats, yada, 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 because we have a two-party system.
Yeah. And the thing is that argument was irrefutably true, because there's no way that a third-party candidate was going to win a majority in enough states to get the electoral votes to be elected president. And so every vote for Ralph Nader was a wasted vote. It was a vote for the Republicans, as it turns out.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's got to go.
What, the Electoral College?
The college. Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, here I am from a small state, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that most people outside of the U.S., they ask me, well, here in New Zealand, for instance, people ask me about that all the time, like, what the heck is that all about? Why don't you elect your own president? Why do you give it to these faceless people to do it? And I have a real tough time explaining, because I personally think it's so stupid.
Well, I really think that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, but, and that's one of those things that it's just really hard to change. I mean, yeah, it's a stupid system now. I mean, it existed before because we didn't have modern transportation and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
And we had to basically consolidate people's votes that they did on paper to a certain place in the state and then have those, you know, horse-ridden into wherever they were counted in Washington. And that's, we were just sending representatives up there to vote for us. Mm. That made it easier.
I still think the system is designed to... The checks and balances in the U.S. system are designed to slow things down.
And some of it is. Some of it is, yes.
Well, I mean, if a government gets in here in New Zealand, like if the government got in on a platform, for instance, that Obama did, he said he wants to change a whole lot of things. Well, he would get in here in New Zealand and he would change them.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Whereas in the U.S., he gets it on a platform, and he has to play the political game to get it all to happen. If he has a majority, then he should change the laws. That's what majorities are for.
But that was the problem. He didn't have a majority.
He did.
No, he didn't, Nigel.
He does.
Because the Democratic Party is not lockstep, we're not a monolith party. It's like he didn't have a majority of Democratic senators with his, you know, supporting his agenda.
Well, see, that's what I'm trying to say.
But he had a majority of senators. He didn't have a big enough majority to overcome filibusters. And that's where the problem came. Because if the filibuster was removed completely, then a simple majority was all that was needed to get something passed, then you couldn't have the cowardly Democrats hiding behind the filibuster. They would have had to have put up or shut up, and probably most of them would have fallen in line, except for Blanche Lincoln and a couple of others, probably.
Ben Nelson.
But
I totally agree. I mean, I was a proponent of the the who was it that came up with the compromise on the filibuster, which is basically you can filibuster it once, and then it can come back in a couple of days, and at that point, instead of it being 60-40, it's 55.
Yeah, yada, yada, yada.
Just make a simple majority.
That's exactly my point. Yeah. That's why people turn off. Because if you have a majority, and you keep saying he doesn't have a majority, well, when does he have a majority? If he's a president, he goes in with a backing of a party, mm-hmm. then why? I mean, there...
But you make it sound like he got absolutely nothing accomplished. I mean, regardless of the fact that he's not talking about it enough, it's like there was a lot of things that got accomplished. I mean, he was able to get a whole lot of things accomplished. In fact, we've been talking about healthcare reform for, almost a century in this country. And he is the first person to ever get it done. Now, that's a huge thing. It's not the greatest bill in the world, but it's a start. And he's the first person to ever get it done. That, in and of itself, is a major accomplishment. And he did that by having people in his own party that, you know, like Ben Nelson or whatever, that were not able to do it.
Sure.
That, you know, that were not able to go along with it.
And I'm not saying that that's not a good thing. What I'm saying for it, it's so complicated to get those things done.
Part of the problem in my mind is when they did away with requiring them to filibuster. It's like, if you're going to keep the filibuster, then you need to go back to making them filibuster.
Because, standing until they collapse,
yeah,
you mean?
Because that's what happens, right? Is they just say, nope, I'm filibustering. Whereas if they actually had to filibuster, then people would be more aware of what was happening. Because the Republicans, if you read the right-wing blogs or everything, well, we don't have a majority. How could we possibly stop anything from happening? This is just the left being crazy. It's like, you're filibustering. You are blocking legislation. But because we don't make you stand up and do it, it doesn't show on the TV news, right? I mean, that's what we want, is in the news cycle for them to be standing there actively blocking it so that we can point and go, that's why that's not getting done. This is why this isn't getting done. It's because these people are standing there and blocking it as they read their recipes for cream spinach or whatever, to keep talking on the floor. But I agree with you. The filibuster, you know, was not something that we even originally had. The filibuster was added in, I don't remember the exact year, but it was within the last 100 years that the filibuster was added in. But yeah, I mean, I think we should get rid of it. That's rather arcane, but...
Although it would be a step towards reform if it was abolished.
It would. And the real problem with it, Nigel, when you say that you know, the checks and balances are designed to slow things down, yes, absolutely they were. That was the original intent, is that you had the House, the one House of Congress, that changed every 2 years, which was the more populist, directly... what's the word I'm looking for? The emotional, directly, you know, these are the people, yep, that are in there wanting to change things. And then you had the more deliberative, sensible, slower moving Senate, which they only get elected once every 6 years. There's only 100 of them. Each state is equally represented in there. And that was supposed to be the more deliberative body. I mean, you've probably seen it written before, right? That the U.S. Senate is the most deliberative body in the world. I mean, that is what it was designed to do, was to cool things down and to take a more rational approach to things. What has happened, unfortunately, is that the entire culture has changed to this instant gratification mode, and we have become hyper-partisan. And so now those things are bleeding into, instead of these rules that were designed to slow things down and to make it more, to force more bipartisanship, these are now being exploited to make them even more partisan than they were before.
Yeah. The only thing I would add to what you said is that the House was originally intended to be the people's house, and the Senate was originally intended to be the state's house, because right. The states elected the senators.
Right, because we didn't even vote on senators directly.
No, not until the 17th Amendment, which the teabaggers want to repeal.
Well, they want to repeal everything.
No, they won't be able to.
But that, I mean, yeah, when you get down into the minutia of it, yeah, you're right, Nigel. It does get complicated, but at the same time, there's a very simple thing that can be done, right, which is to participate, to not shy away from it, to participate. And it doesn't necessarily have to be at a national level. Just take your local races. These are the people that affect near you. Find out who the candidates are. Learn about them. Decide which one that you want to support, regardless of what letter they have after their name, and go and vote. Participate.
Yeah, but I mean, the people did it when they voted last time.
No, not really.
Yeah, they did.
We still had a compared to the rest of the universe, we had a very anemic turnout.
Oh yeah, but compared to most American turnouts, it was extraordinary.
No, but so what? We were all excited because we had what? 27% turnout.
All things are relative, I suppose.
About?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Obama got voted in, clear majority.
And, yes.
And
he's been blocked every step of the way.
Sorry?
He's been blocked every step of the way.
Absolutely.
And he has not been, you know, he's made his share of mistakes. He has absolutely made his share of mistakes. I feel that he's negotiated away things too quickly, in the spirit of trying to get other people or to try to get things to be bipartisan. He's given away a lot of things that he probably
absolutely.
Should have
I think done. I think he's been far too congenial. And I mean, he should have gone hard.
I'm not going to disagree with you there. You know, I mean, hindsight 2020 and everything, but
yeah,
he had
a mandate. He should have used that mandate. Yeah.
But
and,
at the same time, he was not campaigning that way. None of us, you know, anyone who tells you that Obama said that he was going to go in there and radically shake things up, wasn't really listening to anything that Obama was saying when he was running. He was a moderate. He campaigned as a moderate, and he, you know, was elected. Now, a lot of people read things into what he said. A lot of people, you know, thought, oh, he's just tacking back to the center for the general election. But if you look at his past, if you look at his history, he was very much a centrist. He's very much a centrist, left centrist Democrat.
Yeah, I always have always resented it when people referred to him as a liberal. Because he's not a liberal by any measure that I would use. That doesn't mean he's bad. It just means he's not a liberal. Yeah, and I think you're right about the campaign thing too. And he talked repeatedly about trying to end the partisan divide and doing things differently, which right there explains why he had that obsession with trying to work with the pointless crusade to try to work with Republicans. I do wish that they worked out a little bit sooner that was pointless and just worked without them. But it would have helped if the Democrats in Congress had miraculously grown a spine. But that didn't happen.
Well, everybody's far too kind, aren't they?
Well, but that's the thing. There's a lot of things that you can blame Obama for, and there's a lot of things that you can absolutely be upset at Obama for. But then there's other things that are completely outside of his control. These are things that legally and just customarily are completely outside of the president's control.
Didn't stop Bush.
Well, no, but you know what? That doesn't make it right.
I was
pissed off at the fact that we were politicizing everything and basically breaking the law to get things accomplished. I certainly don't want to.
It's good for them. Why not good for us?
Because two wrongs don't make a right.
Exactly. But I think, once again, we're being too kind. You know, why not? Why couldn't he have gone hard out?
I agree with you that he shouldn't have negotiated some of the things he did, and I absolutely agree with you there. What I'm talking about is, if you want to be pissed off about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, be pissed off at your Congress people.
I'm not pissed off about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
No, what I'm saying is that what happens here is that we say, oh, the Obama administration, I'm pissed off that Obama didn't do this thing. Really, he has very little to do with it. There's very little he can do as president. This is a law that was passed by Congress.
Well, can I ask a broader question about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, taking it away from electoral politics? I think most people, certainly on our side of the divide, would agree that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is a stupid law. It's short-sighted, it's naive, it's bigoted, it's all kinds of things like that. America's allies are integrated already, and the United States is looking increasingly antique in the way that it continues to enforce it. I think we all agree on that.
Stupid.
Yeah, and we can also agree that it's grossly unfair. However, correct. I'm wondering, should it really be getting as much attention as it's getting from the community when it really affects a tiny percentage of people? Wouldn't ENDA be a far more sensible thing to be working on and focusing on than Don't Ask, Don't Tell? I'm just asking. I'm not saying that.
No, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. But you could make the same case of we pay so much attention to a crazy-ass Delaware lady. Can't think of her name at the moment. O'Donnell.
Yeah.
In a race that she has no hopes of winning. I mean, the polling on that race is so skewed at this point. She's like 26 points behind. I mean, she's not going to win. There's this close to the election, being that far behind in the polls, there's no possible way she could win. There are so many other Democratic races, like, let's say, Nevada, that are so much tighter.
Mm.
And we actually do have a chance of winning or losing there. It matters who's going to win. But yet we're
Illinois.
We pay attention to O'Donnell because that's what the media is showing us. That's what they want to talk about, because she's crazy, because she's batshit crazy, yeah. And that plays well.
And she makes good TV.
Right. Well, the same thing with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, right? ENDA is not sexy. ENDA is not something that you can easily ascribe a face to or do anything like that. But we can dress people up in military garb and, you know, bring them on and talk to them about it, and people understand, you know, that becomes more compelling to them, because we've become a simplistic, idiotic group of people. You know, I mean, what the fuck is going on with Russ Feingold? Right? Johnson's like ahead by 5. But, you know, that is going to be a much more tighter race there. I still suspect that Feingold's going to pull it out. But
I'm hoping.
You know, no, let's talk about Delaware.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Delaware, where the bitch has no chance of winning, period. She just doesn't. She just doesn't have a chance of winning.
Oh, the media do hope she does.
Well,
I'm sorry. As of this afternoon, Coons is ahead by 17.
Yeah, but I mean, the media want someone like that to win, because that just, I mean, they'll be able to go to town on that story for years, because she's just a nut job. Look at Sarah Palin.
Yeah, they're still talking about her, and she's nothing now.
She's a very well-paid nothing.
Yeah, very well-paid nothing, but she has no position. She has no authority. She quit as governor of Alaska.
And she's a fucking nut job.
Well, that's why they focus on her. She makes good TV.
I mean, that's genius. I mean, that's why she's an idol to these people.
Yeah.
That's genius. Here she is. She has no accountability. She has no job. She gets paid much more money than she ever did as governor to just go around and shoot her mouth off. You know, get paid $100,000 at a shot to come and talk to these people. It's like, you know, that's genius for them, right? Free market.
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of thing. And Lord Byron says that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is an economic issue.
Well, essentially it is. Essentially it's about job discrimination as much as anything else. I mean, it's got all the other layers on it because of national security and stuff. But at its core, it's an employment issue.
Right, and you're saying that his reasoning there is military service provides college education. Well, it used to.
Before Bush.
They're trying their best to get rid of that in healthcare. Yeah. Let's try to get rid of that. Oh, we've made Yaz's head hurt. I'm sorry. You know what? It's 2 weeks before an election.
Less than.
It's important.
And you're ready to pop, aren't you, Daniel?
I am, because it's important, Nigel. It's things. It's something that affects us. It affects each and every one of us, and it is so not difficult to do. I mean, it used to be, you know, people, you need to research the issues. You need. I try not to even use the word research nowadays, because it is trivial. It's sitting down and typing into Google. Why is the Justice Department defending Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
It affects us on the other side of the world. It affects us who gets in as well. That's what pisses me off most.
It is so easy to get the information. It is so easy to be informed.
Mm.
It's simply a lack of will.
Because, I mean, the ridiculous politics that go on in America is exported.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Sorry, what was that?
I said, yes, it is.
Oh. Exactly. I mean, the stupidity of the Christian right gets exported to countries like New Zealand, and then we have to spend quality time trying to stamp that shit out in our countries.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's just ridiculous stupidity. and it comes here, and that's why the rest of the world watches. It's not because we sit there and go, oh, those silly Americans, how could they vote for such stupid politicians? It's because it gets exported. It creates power for those people who want to export their kind of politics or their kind of religion or whatever it is.
Well, it's generally religious-based politics that affects
us. It is religious-based politics, and that's why it's so unpalatable to New Zealanders.
Yeah, as a secular society.
Wes Stone is asking who trusts what they read on the internet. At some point, you have to trust somebody.
Well, funny you should say that. Last night, for the first time ever, I found an error on Wikipedia. I know people love to trash Wikipedia and say, oh, it's all full of errors. Well, it's not all full of errors, but last night I actually found one.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've never found an error in the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Well, I probably don't read that, but I have found errors in newspapers.
Right. Well, that was the point that they were making about the accuracy of Wikipedia when they ran that study, which is it's has a better accuracy level than most printed encyclopedias, aka edited.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's because of the. But you know what? The beautiful thing about that is when you found an error last night, you could have easily fixed the error.
Well, I made a mental note of it so I can go back and get editing privileges or whatever, so that I can do exactly that.
Go and fix it. Yeah, where Wikipedia falls short is when you get into political things. But you know what? So many things. Because I will just go back to my previous statement. There is an agenda in this world to get you not to pay attention to politics. It is in a mega corporation's best interest for you not to pay attention. It is in ExxonMobil's and any other transnational corporation's interest for you not to vote. Period.
Yes.
So when you talk about politics being so contentious and whatever, that is by design. That is absolutely by design. And does that mean that there's people on the right that, you know, that everybody on the right is just some kind of shill that doesn't believe what they're saying? No, sadly, some of them are just stupid and have drunk Kool-Aid and believe what they say. But at the same time, it's like it is by design. It is that way. And it is so trivial for you to get past that. If you know that the game is fixed going into it, then it is very simple to play the game.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not accepting the premise that it is a fair game to start with, then it's very easy to play the game because then you're questioning things. And when you question things, it's usually not that big of a deception. They don't go that far out of their way.
Yeah, but you're talking.
Know these are not James Bond supervillains here. I mean,
yeah, but Daniel, you're talking about a population that have been for years. They have been told to follow, to believe what they're told.
Yep.
I mean,
and that's what they're counting on.
Sorry.
And that's what they're counting on.
And to not question.
Right. Yeah.
To not question. I mean, that's what religion's all about. Don't question.
Well, I would go even further. I mean, that's what economic policy is about, right? Yeah. If you look at the periods of time in this country where major civil social changes have taken place, it has been during the two periods of our country where we had a very strong and stable middle class.
Yeah.
And that scares the shit out of them. That's why we have gone to trying to destroy the middle class and why we have done everything possible to increase the what's the word I'm looking for? With the people at the top being much, much better off than the people in the middle and the bottom. Some kind of gap, and I can't think of the name. There's a term for it. Can't think of it. Anyway, the point is, if you have an unstable middle class, if people are worried about keeping their jobs and worried about making money, then they're much less inclined to go out and shake things up. They're much less inclined to go out and to stir things up because they don't want to lose their job, right? So if you can keep them in that state, then you can tell them to do whatever it is you want them to do.
Yeah, and that has been historically what has made people reluctant to make any waves or to create any change. Anyway, the whole fear factor, fear of losing their job, fear of being ostracized as well.
Yeah.
You know, when people don't want to stand up to the crazies, sometimes it's because they're afraid that they're going to be the next victim or the next target, as the case may be.
Well, let's take an example. Take France, for example. Students in France have been in the street picketing for the past two weeks. Millions of French people have been in the street picketing and striking for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It get virtually no coverage here.
Really?
I mean, it's to the point that, what is it, three of the refineries in France are shut down. They've been shut down because the workers aren't there.
Public transport shut down. Airports are closing down.
Yeah.
Because they can't get fuel.
Right, because they're out there picketing, and they're out there in the streets. And it gets almost no coverage here. Even on Rachel Maddow, Keith Olbermann, nobody is covering this here. It's you have to read BBC and read the international press to even know that that was going on, much less to know why it is that they're out there picketing. And they're out there picketing because Sarkozy wants to raise the retirement age from 60 to 62.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the... You know, that is the slide. That's the thing that kills the middle class, right? If you create more demand for jobs than there is supply of jobs, then you can drive wages down and kill the middle class.
So is that what the power elite are getting out of killing the middle class, the fact that they can drive wages down?
Well, drive wages down, which keeps people from paying attention. It keeps people from participating in the system. When you have security, when you are comfortable and you know that your health is taken care of and you don't have to worry about medical bills and you don't have to worry about making next month's mortgage payment, and you're fairly certain that if your boss gets pissed off at you and fires you tomorrow, there's another company that you could go and get a job at fairly easily in the same industry. When you're secure like that, when you have that security, you're more inclined to get involved in the local politics and to stand up and go, that's wrong, and I'm going to go and protest that, yada, 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 as opposed to people who, oh, my God, well, if I do this and I miss that day of work and they fire me, I'm fucked. I don't know where my next rent check's coming from. I don't know all of that. So, yes, it is part of that. It's driving wages down to make people less financially secure so that they don't participate in the system. So, I mean, raising the retirement age from 60 to 62 seems like a really stupid thing, right, for us, because we're like, oh, what the hell, we don't care, blah, blah, blah. But what it does is it keeps people in the workforce for two more years, which means that people coming right out of college are now competing with two more years' worth of people that otherwise would have retired and left the workforce for jobs.
Right.
So now there is more demand for jobs than there are supply of jobs, which means now companies can, you know, they have a surplus of people wanting those jobs, so they can pay less.
And putting it back in the American context, one of the things which just absolutely amazes me about that whole system is that they have been able to get the people who are falling in their economic status to buy into that structure and to advance it and to defend it.
But it's just pure greed. It is absolute pure and simple greed is what they get. What is played on about in people's minds? One day my ship will come in. One day I will be those people. I will be wealthy, and therefore I don't want, you know, the big bad government to be taking all of my wealth. Because when we hear things like, the tax rate for the top 2% should be 80%. 80% of my money. Oh my God, that's just unconscionable, because you're thinking in the sense of, you know, a real person who deals with real money. You know, to be in that 80% tax bracket, you are making hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that is way beyond anything that you would be. And there is a rational argument to make as to why those people should be charged $80 million a year, right? What is it that our tax dollars go to pay for? That's what you really have to look at. They go to pay for the commons. Now, who amongst anyone could argue that Bill Gates, head of Microsoft, does not use considerably more of the common resources than I do, right? He has a huge company, and that huge company exists in a park where there are public roads that are maintained for his workers to come and drive in to get to. So he is using those that we paid for. He also has an incredibly large workforce that were educated in a school system that we paid for. We paid for his educated workforce. The footprint that he puts on the commons, the amount of the public resources that he has used to create his private company is enormous. So of course he should be paying more, because he is reaping the benefits of what we have all collectively paid for. To a far greater extent than I am.
I'll vote for you.
But I mean, the point is that that is what, you know, the fundamental difference between the progressives and the conservatives is, you know, the usefulness of government. If you don't believe that government does anything useful, you know, then you're, that's the conservative, you know, mindset. The government should only exist to police and to whatever the fuck else they do. There's like one other thing that they want them to do, and it's stupid.
Manage parks?
No.
Right.
It was those privatized.
Right. From the, I'm sorry, Veritable Virgo.
Is he snoring?
No. Now, he said in the chat room, and thank you for listening to the Daniel Brewer Political Discourse Hour.
Right, but from the progressive side of things, we believe the government does something good. Right,
yes.
We believe the government, yes, provides us roads. The government provides us with education. The government, from a large company standpoint, well, who the fuck enforces your contracts? Who is it that is out there? Is our court system that we pay for, that you use on a far more frequent basis than we do, to enforce your business contracts? You know, these are things that you use in the commons that we all pay for. We absolutely all pay for, but these people are using them for, you know, far more than we would ever dream of using them. And so, of course, they should be paying more.
Well, I agree. Clearly.
But it is spun in the sense of, here's Bill Gates, self-made man that went out and earned all this money, and now the big bad government is trying to take it away from him. You know, that's the problem. It's bullshit. It's like he is using far more of our resources than we are, and he needs to pay for those things.
It is.
And then on top of that, he can still make millions of dollars.
But it's been quite easy for the right wing to spin all that, like the Republican who's running for Senate in West Virginia talking about abolishing the inheritance tax, leaving out the fact that it only applies to people who inherit $3.5 million or more, so it doesn't affect the average American. Or the fact that, you know, the Republicans keep going on about building small businesses, except that small businesses means Tribune Corporation and Bechtel and companies like that. It doesn't mean the mom-and-pop store on the corner.
Or the worst, now they're conflating the U.S. Chamber of Commerce with your local chapter of the Chamber of Commerce,
yeah,
in your town, which, yeah, the two are not even the same organization.
They're not even remotely related, except that they have the same names.
Correct. Exactly. So, anyway, all right, now that I've put everyone to sleep, I'm...
Do you feel better now, Daniel?
No, I don't.
Poor Daniel.
I can tell your blood pressure's up. I can hear the veins pulsing from here.
And probably
I just don't want people to be stupid. I because you're not stupid, right? I mean, you can demonstrate it. You're not stupid. You're not beyond understanding this stuff. You just don't want to understand this stuff. And I understand that you don't want to. I get it. But at the same time,
some people are stupid.
Well, some people are
stupid. Well, you know, you can say that about anything. But at the same time, this is important. This is very important. This is your kneecap giving out when you get up in the morning. This is a problem, and it needs to be addressed. You cannot just keep ignoring this shit. You've got to. You've got to.
I love the way you brought that full circle.
Thank you.
Very well done.
And scene.
And so we've probably put Veritable Virgo and Brother Sinatus to sleep now.
No, I'm still here, although I could fall asleep. I had a massage earlier.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Well, it's been an hour, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Is there any topic that anyone wanted to raise before we wrap up?
No, I think I'm
too scared. I'm too scared.
Well, I got one thing.
Okay.
In Colorado, the Republicans are in danger of becoming a minority party.
Oh, my God.
To the teabaggers.
Well, the thing is, no, it's the teabaggers that are doing it. Well, teabaggers and Tom Tancredo.
Oh, yeah.
Are in the governor's race, they had a teabagger win, and Tom Tancredo didn't like him, so he decided to run an American party. Well, that makes... at the moment, the Republicans are polling about 10%. Tom Tancredo is second, and I don't know where he's at, but he's not going to win either. And the Democrats are going to win, basically. But at, you know, it's, they're going to lose. There's a chance they could lose their major party status.
Yeah, your Senate race is really tight too right now.
Oh, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's tight. I think the Republicans have won it.
Bennett's at 47.7, and Buck's only at 49.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Okay.
I saw a report earlier today that the early voting was favoring the Democrats so far. I don't know how they know that, but that's what it said.
Exit.
Oh, is that what it was? Exit polling.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, in your governor's race, let's see. Let me go to the source, 538.com. Hickenlooper, the Democrat, is up by 12 in that one. Largely thanks to Tancredo, who's polling at 35.
And what do they have the Republican at?
Mays is at 15.
Okay.
Jeez.
So Hickenlooper's at 47.6, so he's pretty much got the, his chance of winning through 100,000 models is 88.2%. So I would say that one's done. Stick a fork in it.
Thanks, Sarah.
You're welcome. I would wink, but this is audio.
Hickenlooper's a good politician, though.
Yeah. I'm the ones that I'm just refuse to believe until election night are, if, at least for the Senate, is Wisconsin, Illinois, and Nevada. You know, I just don't see Russ Feingold losing, I hope.
What about Barbara Boxer?
Boxer, California is so far out of danger. She's up by 4 as of today's polling. So there's only a 17% chance she's going to lose her seat.
My lap. So can you hear her? Oh, sorry. 51. You can probably hear Bella purring.
Yeah. California is no longer in danger. 17% chance that Boxer would lose. So what is that? An A 73%? No, 83% chance that she'll win.
Okay. Yeah.
The ones that Illinois really are, so there's 8 of them, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, there's 8 of them. North Dakota, Arkansas, which we've lost both of those. Indiana, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Colorado, and Illinois. North Dakota and Arkansas, we just didn't stand a chance. Those are traditionally red states that how we ended up with a Senate seat there, I'm not sure. You know, Indiana looks pretty gone. Coates is up by 16.
Which is incredible in itself.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, then right after that is Wisconsin, right? I mean, Johnson's up by 5 over Feingold. And I just don't see Russ losing.
Well, I would hope that Wisconsin voters wouldn't be dumb enough to vote for Johnson, but some will.
There you go. I completely bore everyone with the minutiae of polling.
Well, I can say as a native Illinoisan that part of the problem there is that there is a significant portion of the voters who don't like either candidate, and they have pledged to vote for the Green Party candidate simply because they can't stand either Mark Kirk or Lexi Jean Ulis for whatever reason.
I have an idea. I'm sorry. I just had this thought. I have an idea of how to make politics more entertaining for folks.
What's that?
You go to a website. It's called theblaze.com.
Yeah.
Now, this is a website that Glenn Beck started. So it's Glenn Beck's version of the Huffington Post. And every single article on here is so ridiculously biased that, it's insulting. But here's the game. Is you choose a party, right? So here's a story here on the front page of The Blaze. The Tea Party ally Freedom Works targeted in cyber attack. Okay. According to the Wall Street Journal, a mysterious cyber attack reportedly struck the computer servers of Freedom Works, a conservative grassroots organization. They should be putting grassroots in quotes there. In news for outspoken support of Tea Party movement, blah, 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 right? The attack crippled the site at about 9:45 a.m., blah, 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 blah. So here's the game. You read the story, and then before you look at the comments, you think to yourself, what crazy-ass talking point are they going to repeat in the comments? And so you choose whatever the talking point is, and then you scroll down through the comments, you see how far down in the comments you have to go before you get to that talking point. Right. So what they're saying is that this their website had a serious cyber attack. Probably it was just a DOS attack. Right. So I mean, probably it was just flooded or whatever, and you couldn't get to the site. Right. That's probably what it is. Without me reading too much further into that. So now the question is, what would the talking points be? Right. Crazy liberals, or you know, well, that they of course they have to resort to dirty tricks. Right, maybe something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you scroll down to the comments, and you can see the very first comment. Well, since liberals can't actually win on principle and with honor, they're resorting to hacking computers. See? Okay. It's a little game.
You can see those sorts of comments to any story on Yahoo News as well.
Yes, but this is even more fun because they're more they feed on each other. It's great. When we were in California, when Stephen and Wes and I were in the hotel room, I played this game with them one morning, and I forget what the article was about, but...
Does it matter, really?
No, it doesn't really matter, but down in the end... Oh, I think it was on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because down at the end, one of the comments was explaining in a multifaceted explanation as to why Don't Ask, Don't Tell wouldn't work, or why it shouldn't be repealed, blah, 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 and the very first one was... it primarily deals with quantum physics, which is far too complicated for me to explain here. which we used for the rest of the weekend, that comment. So anytime anybody would say something, we'd just go, yeah, well, it involves quantum physics, which is far too complicated for me to explain.
So, okay, then.
Yeah, pretty much any opinion you read on the Blaze, you can be fairly safe in just taking the opposite opinion of it and being okay. So there you go. It's a great website.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Wonderful. Although I notice they favor video and audio more than writing, because they don't like to read.
Or maybe they can't write. Or spell. Well, we know they can't spell.
Well, we know they can't spell. All right, I'm sorry. I have hijacked your show. I have bored your guests. And now I'll go back into hiding for 6 months. So.
Are you sort of like Pakistani Phil? You haven't bored me. Sorry, what was that, Veritable?
I said, for the record, I'm not bored.
Oh, that's good.
So go vote.
Yeah.
Go vote.
I always vote.
Get involved.
We used to joke in Chicago about vote early and vote often, but it's the sort of thing you just can't say anymore. Because the Republicans think we mean it literally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but isn't that... Go ahead. Go ahead.
And Bonnie Frank, I saw some numbers, or actually was it UK Tom had tweeted... about it, and his challenger, they're roughly about 49-37. So what is that? That's like a 6-point spread, or 12-point spread, right?
Barney Frank is
Massachusetts, yeah. And the Republican challenger, Sean Bielat, Bielat, and it was. UK Tom had posted it that Frank was at 49 and Bielat was at 37, which is frightening. But, you know, I think people are... there's a lot of people that are upset with Frank, I think, for some of the things that he's done or not done. And I think it gets back to the lack of understanding. But
yeah, and to be quite honest, it's their fault for not explaining this shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's their fault. Go ahead.
I mean, I listen to NPR almost every day, and some of the stuff I hear on there is just, it's literally mind-numbing as to how the government repeatedly, you know, sticks its foot in its own mouth and just makes its own problems so much worse by disenfranchising the American people, you know. Whether it's a lack of people not being able to understand the issues, or things being just too complicated, or some funky laws that really just make things difficult to, like, services to access and so forth and so on.
Yeah, and I don't understand why it is so difficult to get someone who is good at cutting through that shit. Right. I mean, why there can't be a senator that when they're interviewed on the show goes, you know what, this is bullshit. This is why this is happening, is because of this stupid thing.
Exactly. And it's like nobody wants to take the lead in that regard. I mean, even when we talked about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and I probably meant to comment on this earlier, was this morning they were talking about, you know, why is Why is getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell such a big deal for the military? Well, now they have to do all of these studies, and they have to figure out the policies and all this other stuff. So basically all the crap that they should have been doing all this time to prepare for the eventual repeal of this law, they've just been sitting on their asses and doing nothing, and now they need all this lead time again, so to speak. But they're also polling the enlisted and, you know, asking stupid questions like, would you even feel comfortable showering next to someone that you knew was homosexual? And if that right. doesn't perpetuate homophobia, I don't know what does.
Mm.
So it was
because
just,
it's well known that if you're straight,
it was just very,
if you're straight in the military, you are so attractive yeah. that we would risk everything just to shower. Yeah,
right, and I don't know about anybody else, but when I'm showering at the gym, my goal is to get clean, not to be cruising somebody.
Right.
So.
No. No.
Well, there's a certain subset of heterosexual male who believes that it's impossible to be too ugly to not be attractive to a gay man.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they have a rude awakening.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, those are the same people. I don't mind going to gay bars as long as they don't grab my ass. And you just want to look at them. It's like, granted, this is when I was single, but you just want to look at them and go, I've been going to gay bars for 10 years, and I want people to grab my ass, and they won't. So I don't see why you should need to worry about it.
Yeah, you have nothing to worry about.
So there you go. All right. Well, yeah, I'm done.
I'm getting
sure, leave us hanging.
Yeah, getting ready to wrap up, but Nadja's gone to get a drink of water.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you letting me come and completely commandeer your show, Arthur.
Well,
that was very nice of you.
You're making up for lost time, you see.
Oh, okay. Making up for lost time.
Yeah, because people have missed you, and so this is your chance to catch up with the minions.
That's right. You can listen
not
to
service,
me over
because that's on your show.
That's right. You can listen to me over on the Teenier Mime show, where we are running a contest, which I just found out today. Miss Kathy Bacon is kicking another $10. And we are running a contest that now is worth $110.
Wow.
$110 for our contest.
That's a huge prize.
U.S. cash money. yeah, it's a real simple little multi-legged contest. Anyone can join in. And you just got to listen to the Teenier Mime show to get further instructions. This is the second leg of this contest is going on now, which anyone can participate in. You have until October 31st to get your entry in for the second leg of the contest.
Did you guys see in the chat room, is it Montand said that we should do an election night show?
We need a theme song, though. We need a
We'll just borrow the one from NBC.
Right, exactly.
Although there is a show on Tuesday night, so there there'd have to be arrangements made.
I predict right now that the election night, Alaska is going to fuck everything up. Because not only are they the furthest one time zone wise, well, other than Hawaii, but they've got that three-way race up there, and it's with a write-in candidate, so it'll be months before we know what happened in Alaska.
And years before we care.
That's true. I think the best, I don't know. I don't think Miller's going to play. It'll probably be Murkowski. Depends on how many people can spell her name.
Yeah.
And how many court challenges there will be.
Well, yeah, especially because they've already been told that it doesn't matter if they spell it correctly, and the other side is saying, oh, yes, it does. So.
Yes, you must spell her name correctly.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the Supreme Court has pretty much already struck that down, right? In any case where the voter intent can be clearly defined or clearly
understood. Yeah, that's what it's been.
It must be counted.
Yeah.
So in what they won't do, although there's been alternate rulings that say that it has to be more than a surname, so you can't just write Lisa or Lisa M, but any kind of spelling of Murkowski, even if it's M-U-R-K, M-I-R-K, or M-I-R-C-O-W-S-K-I, whatever. Even if it's a pictogram of a cow and a ski.
and the tail of a mermaid, right, with the little arrows pointing to it.
Yes, I would say even that. That would clearly denote the voter's intent.
Well, we shall see.
I think it'll be interesting because I don't know. On the one hand, you kind of want to hope that they're going to split it in such a way that the Democrat would have a chance of winning, right? Because the Murkowski folks would be. But apparently, everyone's too scared to vote for the Democrats, so they're all going to vote in Murkowski. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see. Well, Daniel's already plugged his Teenier Mime show.
I didn't tell you where you could find the Teenier Mime show at.
Where is that, Daniel?
It's at the teenyermimeshow.com. No, it's at liveitupthepodcast.com.
Yeah, I suppose we ought to call it by its correct name at least once.
It's the cheese sandwich.
Yes.
And why is it called Teenier Mime?
The Teenier Mime show is an anagram for Somewhere in Time.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Right. That's because too confusing.
Just like, you know what? That's just my own stupid sense of humor. One of the proudest moments for me was when we were El Espectaculo Gigante, and we did such a huge little production number on it, and then immediately threw it away. That to me, I love that kind of shit. Where it's like you do all this. It's like killing off a main character in literature. People don't expect it. So yeah. When you kill off the main character, you catch him off guard.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So, Veritable Virgo, is there anything you'd like to plug or promote?
I still don't have a show, but it's coming.
Okay.
Just check out veritablevirgo.net, and the details are all there. A lot of other stuff, and I even have a page up there with GLBT resources, which was put up there around the time of when we were all getting together to do the It Gets Better video.
Oh, good on you.
From Pride 48. So
I haven't gotten around to that yet because I've got 3 sites to update.
And I think ultimately something that the GLBT resource page is something I'd like to see maybe live on a site of its own, but it's not ready for that.
Okay. Very good. And Brothers and Aides, anything that you'd like to promote?
Yeah, Pride 48 Audio Booze.
Ooh, good idea.
Subscribe to them in iTunes.
Very good.
Just contact me and I'll let you know.
Yep.
And of course, you can hear Nigel every other Saturday night on QNation.fm.
And the thirdcolony.com.
Thirdcolony.com.
Which is all one word, all smushed together, which is a technical term.
All smushed together, that's a very technical term. You know what? It involves quantum mechanics, but it's far too complicated for me to explain here.
And on that note, thank you for joining me, everyone. Thank you, those of you who are listening tonight over pride48.com.
Where else would they have been listening?
Well, probably nowhere, I would imagine, except in the recorded version, ultimately, I suppose.
Well, then they wouldn't have been listening. They will be listening.
Ah, good point. Or whatever. I will be back in 2 weeks, and I hope one day to find somebody to fill the week in between. If not, I might have to go weekly or not. We'll see. But thanks for joining us. Good night to everyone on the live stream.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Airman's Podcast at airmanspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at airmanspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.